Well, thanks, Josh, for reading out that portion of Scripture for us. Well, as we come to this time in our service this morning, I'd love for us to think back to what life was like 12 months ago, if you can. I know it feels like a long time ago, but if you can, have a think about what you were doing 12 months ago. Again, my guess is a lot has changed for you in 12 months. Have a think about what you might have been doing on your school holidays this time last year. Well, for myself, I was heading up to Queensland with my wife Kelly and our two boys, Malachi and Jacob. We were heading up there for a holiday. And while we were up there, we went to Movie World, a great location, a great spot to holiday. You can't drive up to the Gold Coast or Queensland at this present time, let alone go to a theme park. This is how much life has changed in 12 months. But while we were up there, we went to Movie World. We took the boys to Movie World and had a great time there. And me being a roller coaster fiend and a ride fiend, I love going on a good roller coaster. I love going on a great fun ride. I went on one of the fastest roller coasters in Australia, the Superman roller coaster. And this was fun, let me tell you. If you haven't been on the Superman roller coaster before, here's a little clip of what that roller coaster is like. And be warned, if you have motion sickness at all, please look away now.
Attention, the earthquake tremors are increasing. Move the train to McLeod Square.
This is maintenance. We have reports of severe tremors in the main subway. Proceed with caution. The tremors are getting worse. Continue to Metropolis Station as quickly as you can. Earthquake alert! Earthquake alert! Do not stop at Metropolis Square. Repeat, do not stop at Metropolis Square.
How cool is that? Such an epic ride, such a fun ride, wasn't it? Hopefully you didn't get motion sickness while you were watching that. But how fun is it? Let me tell you, it was such a great experience at the time to go on that roller coaster. But when you reflect on life, life can be a bit like that roller coaster ride too, can't it? Maybe you've felt like that lately with all that's going on. One moment you've been on a high, having a great time, having fun in life, and then all of a sudden, you're on the downer. You're worried, you're alone, you're scared, you're uncertain. These are some of the emotions that we can experience. Well, that's some of the emotions that a person can experience on a roller coaster, isn't it? And that is what life can be like sometimes. In fact, I know from my own life that that's exactly how life can feel like. On the roller coaster to keep you safe and secure, you have a harness. A harness is there to make you feel safe and secure, to lock you in place. And let me tell you, on that ride, on that particular occasion, on that day, there are lots of people around me holding on to their harnesses for dear life. Such was the crazy nature and how scary this ride was. But let's focus on that harness for a moment. The job of the harness is, again, to lock you in place, to keep you stable and safe. Even though there's many ups and downs and crazy moments, scary moments, fun moments, the harness's role is to keep you safe and secure. And it's the same for life as well. Because life has so many crazy twists and turns in it, because life is full of ups and downs, we need the right things in place to keep us secure. We need the right sense of stability in our life to ensure that we don't lose control emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Some of those things that we need in place are good morals, good values, and which no doubt your parents are establishing and instilling in you at this present time. And let me let you in on a little secret. You know, there's times where your parents, or you're upset at your parents because they won't let you do something. It's because they're genuinely trying to instill positive values and morals in your life. Sometimes we need to have resilience. We need to learn to accept who we are as individuals, because God loves who you are. All of these things are important. All of these things provide stability in our life when we face the crazy moments, the ups and the downs. But the one thing that you and I need to learn to embrace and grab hold on above anything else, and the only thing that is really going to keep us safe and secure throughout life, is this: God's Word, the Bible. For the Bible is the one thing that you and I can grab hold on and embrace God through His Word in order to experience that sense of stability, of safety and security, even in the full-on moments, the crazy moments of life. And this is the key thing that I felt led this morning to encourage all of our kids and our youth with, but anyone who's watching here this morning, all of our church, is the importance of embracing and grabbing hold of and not letting go of God's Word. And we struggle to do that sometimes, don't we? We struggle to embrace God's Word because we, I believe, don't truly understand the power of God's Word in our lives and what it's all about. Well, Hebrews 4:12 says this: "For the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our innermost desires." Already we see the power of God's Word, the Bible, in our lives. Again, it's alive and it's active, and it does things that no other book can really do in our lives. It changes us. It transforms us. It speaks to us, our innermost being. And so when it comes to the question, what is the Bible? We see that it is much more than a simple book. Amen. It's much more than that. In fact, it's a library of books. It's a collection of books. The Bible is made up of 66 books in the Bible. In fact, it's actually written by some 40 plus authors as well. It's a book that explores the big questions of why we exist, and it's inspired some incredible people to do some amazing, amazing things. It's also confused many people as well, but that's because they don't understand the true substance and the key substance of what this message, what the message of the Bible is all about and trying to communicate. All of these books that we've just spoken about, the 66 books, they come out of the history of ancient Israel, but they all point to the one big story, the one grand story, the story of God and how He is seeking to redeem and to rescue this world. Some cool facts about the Bible that you may not have known about. First and foremost, again, it's not one book, but it's made up of 66 books compiled together and written by more than 40 authors. It is 611,000 words long. It was written on three different continents. Don't know if you knew that one. The longest book of the Bible is the book of Jeremiah. The shortest book of the Bible is 3 John. And it was written, get this, over a period of 1,300 years. And once again, all of it all points to one thing and one thing alone. It is the story of God. History is His story. The history of this world is His story. The Bible, God's word, is what he uses, what God ultimately uses to reveal himself to us, his creation. Which answers the question, second of all, what does it do? What is its purpose? It's the very means by which God chooses, again, to communicate himself or communicate to us and reveal himself to us. It's the way he connects with us. It's the way he speaks to us. It's the way he guides us through life. So very simply, if you want to get to know God, if you want to understand who he is and what he's all about, read the Bible. Dive into the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. Soak up his word. And as we do that, we will start to see some incredible things start to take place. Amen. In that passage that Josh read out to us, 2 Timothy, one of the key things that we see the Bible does in our life is make us wise. Wise for salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 says again, "And how from infancy you have known the scriptures." This is Paul, the apostle, talking to his disciple, his mentor, Timothy. "How from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Wisdom in this sense is godly wisdom. It's wisdom to make good and godly decisions in this life, in your life and mine. Because we are often confronted with many decisions we have to make in life, aren't we? Whether we bully that person at school that everyone else is bullying. Whether we talk about our friends behind their back and be mean to them. Or whether we do this or do that because it's cool, the cool thing to do at school or in our workplaces even. As we read God's word, he makes us wise so that we can make wise choices in our life. I love what Psalm 119:9 says. "How can a young person stay on the path of purity and godliness? By living according to your word," says the psalmist. It makes us wise, but it does even more than that as well. All scripture is inspired by God, Paul says to Timothy, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do, or teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. As we read God's word, we realize that it does an incredible thing in our lives. It changes us. It transforms us, and it leads us into the kind of life that God desires his people to live. And we can match up our lives with his through reading God's word, by meditating on God's word. It's like looking into a mirror. My guess is that when you look into a mirror and you see your image back, sometimes you see a blemish on your face, whether that's a booger on your nose or broccoli in your teeth. And my guess is that when you see those blemishes is that you choose to do something about it, don't you? You pick the booger out of your mouth, you get the bit of food in your teeth, whatever the case may be, you don't leave it there. You do something about it. And the same is true when it comes to our lives. God's word reflects God back into our lives. It's like looking into a mirror. Here's what perfection, here's what holiness looks like. And when we do that, we see how imperfect we are. We see the choices that we have made are wrong. And so our mandate is to change those areas in our life. When we see what God's way of life looks like through reading his word and how we are living our life, we are therefore need to take control of our lives and change those behaviors through the power of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. Ultimately, it's what keeps us safe and secure, again, like a harness, saving us from making bad decisions in life, making bad, unwise, ungodly choices and actions that will ultimately lead to broken relationships, the worry, the anxiety, and pain that we experience in life, all because of our sinful behavior. This is what sin leads to. So are there areas in your life that you may need to change before God? Are there areas in my life that I need to change before God? anger, rage? Do you lie a lot? Do you slander other people behind their back, malicious behavior? Do you swear a lot? We all have areas in our life that don't live up to the standards and the expectation that God has for our lives. But when we realize the areas of our lives that we are getting wrong, the Bible also reminds us, most importantly, that we are forgiven, that we are accepted, that we are loved by God. This is why it is so important, finally, to embrace God's word, to ensure that we are growing and that we are seeking to change our lives before Him, to please Him with our lives. Why is it important? Why does He want to do this in our life? Because He wants us to become like Him once again, so that we come to reflect His image into this broken world. Before that, in that video that Malachi, in that video that we saw earlier on, Malachi mentioned that his favorite story was the story of Adam and Eve. I'm not sure why that is. You might have to ask him why he believes that to be the case. But in this story of Adam and Eve, what we see is that humanity, Adam and Eve, were created perfect in every single way. But through their bad choices, because of their bad decisions, that image of God was devastated and destroyed. They devastated and destroyed the image of God in their lives. And the same is true for us. When we make unwise, ungodly decisions, we devastate and destroy the image of God in our lives. And so instead of reflecting God to this world, we reflect our enemy, Satan, the devil. But there is a way out. There is hope, and there is a man called Jesus who came to die the death that we deserve, to take our sin away. And that is ultimately why life feels like a roller coaster sometimes. Because we are continually suffering the bad choices, the bad decisions and actions, or the consequences of those actions in our lives, or someone else has made in our lives that has impacted us. So this is why Jesus came once again. This is how much He loves you and I. This is the story of God. And the story of God was written down again for us to remind us of how much God loves you and I, how much He accepts us just the way that we are. I came across this great quote by Louis Giglio recently, which says, "The enemy, the devil, wants to define you by your scars. Jesus wants to define you by His." What he's saying there is that the devil wants you to look at your mistakes, look at your bad behavior, and he wants to say to you, that's who you are. That defines you. Whereas the Bible says when we read it, no, that doesn't define you. That's not who you are. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are now seen in light of Him. It's like you've been clothed in this beautiful white gown. No longer does God see your sin, your mistakes. He sees you in light of what Jesus has done through His scars, not your scars. And so if all of this is true, and there's so much more that we can speak about God's word that we don't have time to today, I wish we did. So much more to talk about the Bible. But if this is true, if this is why it is so important in our lives, that we read it and we meditate it, then are we reading it? Are we coming to God's word? Are we seeking to reflect His image into this world? Or better still, for our parents, of our kids and our youth, for our wider church, if this is true and if this is so important, which I know that you would answer yes to if I was to ask you in person, are you seeking to help our children and the next generation prioritize God's word in their lives? I mean, we spend so much time encouraging our kids to focus on homework and schooling and careers and extra curricular activities, sport. Are we encouraging our kids to spend time in God's word, which I know each and every one of us believe to be the most important thing in our lives? Are we reflecting the importance of God's word into their lives in the way we meditate on God's word in our lives? These are the questions that I want to encourage us to start wrestling through this week in order that we come to embrace God's word wholeheartedly and never let go. Life is a roller coaster sometimes, isn't it? It goes without saying. full of ups and downs and scary moments, exactly like we're seeing right here in the world today. But if you and I want to remain safe and secure, if you and I want to be reminded of the hope we have in Jesus, then once again, we need to be embracing God's word, the Bible. Grab onto it like you grab hold of a harness on that roller coaster. But as you do that, even though it may have moments where you feel scared or worried or anxious, you'll be reminded of the security and the safety that you have in Christ. That He loves you and He accepts you just the way you are. And that God has you in the very palm of His hands. As we finish this morning, I'd love to remind us and read out this psalm, Psalm 18, verse 30, which says, "And as for God, His ways are perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him." Let us pray that we are able to embrace God's word and be able to find refuge in Him again this week and forevermore. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this time together. We thank You for our kids and our youth and their willingness to be part of our service this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your word and all that it is in our lives. Father, help us to prioritize it, to embrace it, and to go to it, particularly in the crazy and full-on situations of life. But thank You, Lord, that life isn't always crazy, it isn't always full-on. There is life, there is enjoyment, there's fun to be had, and ultimately we find that fun and enjoyment and fulfillment in You. I thank You, Lord, for our kids and our youth. I thank You, Lord, for our church. Bless us now as we conclude this time together by worshiping Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.